All right, go ahead and open up to, we're going to start in Matthew 6, but we're going to really be in Hebrews a lot today. Hebrews 12, put a marker there. Kim and Sharon are back, hallelujah, thank God. They survived, praise the Lord, and conquered in Jesus' name, hallelujah. We'll give a testimony here one of these nights. By the way, Sean, I gave you credit for that verse Wednesday night. I don't know if you've heard that yet or not, but just want to let you know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I appreciate all the help I can get. Now, this is interesting because normally on Father's Day, I never get to teach about fathers. But today, I actually have a Father's Day message, but it's really talking about our Heavenly Father. And the title of today's message is Fathers, the Father's Tutoring When You Are in Persecution. Now, I have taught this lesson in milk form. You know, have you noticed in school they don't start you off in the first grade with algebra? You know, how many of you are thankful for that? You know, it's Jane, see the ball, you know, 1 + 1. Have you got it, honey? 1 + 1 = 2. Now, say it back to me. No, 1 + Well, see, Hebrews says about itself, unlike Corinthians, you know, the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for you were not able to bear meat, and even yet now are you not able. So what does that tell you about 1 Corinthians? The whole letter is milk, which is really scary, because that's the letter where we have the whole chapter about the gifts of the Spirit. Most of the church does not understand the gifts of the Spirit. How about chapter 13, the love chapter? You read it in the Amplified, it just kills you dead every time, right? But that's milk. Well, and when I have taught this about the Father's tutoring before, we'll get to it in a minute, Hebrews 12, I have taught it really on the milk level, to the point I've received a little minor persecution myself, being accused of teaching it out of context. Really, I didn't. I'll show you what I mean in a minute. Really, I didn't. I just taught it on the milk level. But how many of you today, see, I think, and the Holy Ghost thinks, you're ready for a T-bone. Not even well done. I'm thinking medium rare, maybe to rare. Yeah. Not quite steak tartare. If you don't know what that is, look it up. But we're going to have a little T-bone today. And see about the Father's tutoring. So first, the reason we want to go to Matthew 6, they're just going to look really at one verse, verse 9. Jesus is the one that introduced this concept of God being our Father. I mean, he's mentioned as a father. In fact, there's back in Deuteronomy, it talks about he deals with you as children. But really, he was dealing with them as children. In other words, he was teaching them and by giving them the law and that type of thing. But they weren't spiritually his children. And I don't have to lay that foundation. That's one of the reasons we can do meat today. You already have that foundation. You know that under the old covenant, God was dealing with a spiritually dead people. And the whole world was spiritually dead. Until Jesus came, he was the first one born with the life of God. He was the only human vessel on planet Earth that had the life of God on the inside of him. But how many of you know that at the resurrection, he is the first born from the dead? Implying, if there's a firstborn, there's a secondborn. And it also says in another place, he is the firstborn of many brethren. God dealt with them as with sons under the old covenant, even though they really spiritually were not his children. But through faith in Jesus Christ, you have become literally the offspring of God. You have been born of his Spirit. You have his life and his nature on the inside of you. So now when Father deals with you as a son or a child, literally, you are his child. He is literally raising you up how to function in the kingdom of God. And Jesus taught that from the time of his baptism on. He was teaching the principles of the kingdom of God, even though they would not be able to become children of God for about another 3 years. But he was already laying it out so that when they did become born again, they already had these principles within them. I'm talking about the 12, and then they could pass it on to the next and the next and the next. Anyway, that's a pretty good summation there, okay? Now, Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore, pray you. Of course, this is what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. But notice how it starts off. Our Father. Our Father. I wonder how strange that sounded to the Jewish mind. Because the name of God was so considered so holy, they wouldn't even say it out loud. It's God. Now today, when we're trying to make the point, we go G-A-W-D. God. I pray, God, you know. Well, hey, we hallowed be thy name. We do reverence and honor him. But he is more than God. When Alan teaches, I love it every time he brings out, your flesh will only ever know him as God. And he will always negotiate. Your flesh will always negotiate. I will give you something, God, if you will give me something. The flesh has no capacity to understand God as your Father. And the reason is, he is not the Father of your flesh. He really is not. He is the creator of your flesh, but he is the Father of your spirit. Got that? Now go to Hebrews 12. I'm going to go there myself. Hallelujah. Now, many of you have probably heard me teach before this passage where God deals with you as with sons. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. And that word chastening, if you look it up, in fact, I looked it up again. It's in the Strong's. It's G3809. I guess I better read the verse first. Getting ahead of myself. I so want to get into what's going on here. So let's pick it up here in Hebrews 12:5. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Doesn't that sound awful? He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, implying you might not, but if you do, if you endure the chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. Now don't be too holy for me to read the Bible. Then are you bastards and not sons. I know modern translations say illegitimate children. That's okay. You're illegitimate. Now, I have really taught this on the milk level, and I would go back to Romans 7. You know, there's a big controversy amongst theologians whether Romans 7 is talking about a spiritually dead man like the Jew under the Old Covenant who had received the law but had no capacity to keep it, or is it talking about a born-again person who has a will to obey God, yet he keeps falling to the flesh? And it's easy to go with either one of those. I have struggled with my flesh, and I know that's hard for you to believe. I'm not talking about you, am I? I'm talking about me. I got to do it. All this credit goes to Alan Taylor. By the way, it's Carly Simon who sang the song. I'm from that generation. he was quoting Carly Simon's old song, but the way I'd never heard it before. You know, when you're struggling with the flesh, we'll talk about Gary. When I know we're in that mile where the Krispy Kreme store is. And the war begins, you know. Haven't even got there yet, and I'm already thinking, I wonder if the hot light is on. You know, when the hot light is on, they give you one free, right off the conveyor. It's warm. You don't really eat those. You slurp them. You know, it's just like, and it's gone, you know. Then you need a dozen more, and that's why they do it, right? And so the war has begun, see. And Alan this morning, he brought up that Carly Simon song talking about the flesh. I never thought about it in context with that, talking to the flesh. You're so vain. You probably think my life is about you. It's not my spirit that wants that Krispy Kreme, is it? What does my spirit eat? The Word. My words, they are spirit and they are life. Eat my words. It's not my spirit. It's that flesh. I love it. So now, every time I approach that thing, you're so vain. You probably think my life is about you. And I can't sing worth a hoot, but I like it. Is there anyone? Well, when I have taught on this passage before, I've taken it down to the Jane see the ball level. When it talks about chastening, that word chastening, if you look it up, now I'm specifically talking about in verse 5, Hebrews 12:5, despise not thou the chastening. That is Strong's number 3809. The first meaning of it is tutorage or to tutor. There's a big difference between a teacher and a tutor. A teacher is like what we have right now. You have one teacher and many students. Or in a classroom setting, you have one teacher, many students. Whether it be elementary school or college, it's normally that way. But if your child starts getting behind in math or reading or something, what do? Well, now you hire a tutor. And a tutor is one-on-one. I mean, that tutor has, you have that tutor's full-time attention. It's like he has no other student but you. Now, if you can get what the apostle's saying here. This Father that you have, God, G-A-W-D, but who has become your Father, this all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving Father has nothing else to do but tutor you. Excuse me, I have to go pray in tongues now. Just the thought of it. Just the very thought of it. And I take it down to, back to the Romans 7 guy. So there's this controversy. Is that talking about a spiritually dead person who has received the law but has no capacity to keep it? Or is it talking about a spiritually alive person, a born-again person, just struggling with his flesh? And, you know, Dave always told us it was the former. It was a spiritually dead person who had received the law and had no nature to keep it. And I just took his word for it because I trust Dave. I'll just be honest with you. I trust him. But I didn't know it for myself. I believe you, Dave. Okay. But I continued doing this message, continued praying in the Spirit, assimilating the word. One day as I went through here, that verse right there, verse 8, Hebrews 12:8, it solves it forever. It proves that Dave was correct the whole time. If you can assimilate, see, I don't know if it'll ever come without assimilating the book, so. Be careful of people that tell you not to spend a lot of time in the Word of God. Mark them, avoid them. Is that clear enough? Mark them and avoid them. Okay? My Bible tells me, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you can be led off in a lot of deception. But anyway, I was going through there one day. Let me read it again, Hebrews 12:8. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, all sons of God, all children of God are partakers of this. But if you don't have that, you're an illegitimate child. You're not really a son. And right at that moment, the Holy Ghost brought up this one little line from Romans 7. I would not have known lust, except thy law said, thou shalt not covet. This man in Romans 7 did not have the chastisement of the Father on the inside of him. He had no witness. He had no law written in his mind or in his heart. He had to hear it externally to even know it was wrong. That man he's not born again. The man in Romans 7 is a spiritually dead person who does not even know that lust is wrong. Unless you give him an external law from God, he's not born again. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know about you guys. That's the kind of stuff that sails my boat and heats my chili, spins my fan. I'm telling you. Man, if you ever go by our house and you see me doing laps around the house, something like that just happened. I'm just, yay, Jesus, you know, hallelujah. Go, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So everybody, if you're born again, so I take it, I normally when I teach on this, I take it down to the milk level. And I say, just listen, God is your tutor. You know, they're coming out with a new updated Tarzan movie. And Tarzan, you know, normally in the Tarzan movies, they never get around to the main part of the book. See, they didn't leave in the book, if you read it, they didn't leave him in the jungle. They brought him back to England. He was born some kind of noble person. He didn't know it. He's raised by monkeys. You know, he knew how to function in the wild. They brought him back to England, set him down in one of these nobles' castle type places with a 16-foot long dining table. You know, you've seen those in movies, right? A 16-foot long table. Set him down with a big bowl of mashed potatoes or something, and he just reaches in with his hand to eat it like you would in the wild, and they're going, no. Let me wash that off for you. You're a nobleman. This is not how we eat in this house. Let me teach you what a knife is. Let me teach you what a fork is. They had to teach this man how to function as the nobleman he really was in the house that he really belonged to. That is exactly what the Holy Ghost has been sent to do for us. And God is your tutor by this Holy Spirit. And He's come to teach you how not to function in the wild anymore. You're not a child of apes. I don't care what they teach you in school. You're not a child of apes. You're a son of the living God. You're an heir to the throne. You belong in the house of God. And the Holy Spirit has come to teach us how to function in our Father's house. Glory to God. Even while we were in this world. We're in the wild, but we're not of the wild. I like it myself. So I would teach along this line. Now this is Jane, see the ball. And to the point that I would be accused of lifting this out of context. And I guess in a way it is, but it's really not. You don't start with algebra. You start with 1 + 1. So I would say, well, just try and lie as a Christian. Just tell a lie. Just bold-faced lie. And then walk off and see if you can get away with it. You're going to get smited. Is that a good word? The spanking begins immediately. A spiritual whooping. You know better than that. You can't get away with that. You go right back and apologize right now. You tell them the truth and them and them and them and them and them and them. And even if you don't, you'll get chastised. Now, finally, you'll have to repent and He'll forgive you and cleanse you by the blood. But if you try it again. The chastisement starts at 10. The chastisement starts again. And if it doesn't, you're not really a child of God. That's what it means to have that law written in your mind and in your heart. It's internal. You know it's wrong. And if you follow that, hallelujah, He matures you into a full-grown son of God. Amen? Well, that's on the baby level. I mean, that's on the first grade level. But now, this time, okay, now we're going to start with the T-bone now. Y'all ready? Get your knife and your fork now. Get the serrated blade. You're going to need the serrated blade for this one, okay? Because the context here is the book of Hebrews. And what's going on in the book of Hebrews? What is this letter about? What is the context? These are Jewish people, grew up probably in a house that says, how do I please God, mommy? How do I please God, daddy? Well, you please God by doing your best to keep the law. And when you don't keep the law, when you break it, then here's the sacrifices and the ordinances, and this is what you do in order to make atonement for your sin, and then you offer that sacrifice, and then you're back in good standing with God. That's how you please God, is by keeping the law. But then somebody came and preached Christ to them. I'm thinking right now of Peter right after the day of Pentecost, and the message that he preached to these. It was a festival going on, one of the feasts, and all of these people had come from all these different countries. And they had come to celebrate a Jewish ordinance. But then Peter preached Christ to them. And how many souls was it? 3,000 or 5,000? A whole bunch of them got saved that day. Well, that's a perfect example. Perfect example. That's the kind of people that we're talking, that this letter is written to. But see what happened? Great persecution came on them. I mean, we're going to look at that in a minute. And this tutoring in the context is not about lying in the Ten Commandments. That's the milk level. That's the baby level. That is absolutely true. But really, what the writer of Hebrews hears, what is the tutoring of the Father while you're in the middle of severe persecution? What is it? That's the tutoring that's going on here, see? So back up. How does Dave say that? You're going to meditate the Word in whole images? Well, see what he's talking about. Back up. Let's just back up a little bit. So back up in Hebrews, back to Hebrews 10. And let's look at verse 32. Now, in this lesson, you're not only going to get some good truth about tutoring, but I think it will be a good example for you of the necessity and value of assimilating the books. Because you're going to see how one passage unlocks another passage in another book. Okay? And praying in other tongues so the Holy Spirit can digest and process His Word through you and extract truth for your brain. So Hebrews 10:32, call to remembrance the former days in which, now notice, after you were illuminated, what does that mean? When you got born again. The light came. You heard the truth. You got born again. And what happened then was all of God's blessings fell on you like ripe cherries on a tree. No? No, after you were illuminated, you endured, there's that word again we don't like, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly while you were made a gazing stock. Can I just say it in plain English? They made fun of you. They say, how stupid are you? This hillbilly from Nazareth, why in the world would you worship him? We know who Moses is. We know the law. We know that God sent Moses. We don't know who this hillbilly from Nazareth is. He had no graduate degree. He hadn't studied under learned teachers. They made fun of them. They made a gazing stock of them. Both by reproaches, now that's words usually, reproaches and afflictions. Right now I'm thinking of Nathan, egging the houses. But this was worse than that. This is actual afflictions. There's no telling what all they did. And partly why you became companions of them that were so used. In other words, it wasn't just you. This was happening to everybody. Everybody. They get born again, start declaring Jesus as Lord, and we're not under the law, but we're under grace. Well, that's anathema, you know, to the religious bunch. Now look at verse 34. For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Now, if words mean anything, they took their stuff away. They took their stuff away. Now, when you read history, Christians in that first generation, when it became known that you were a Christian, you weren't allowed to go to the universities sometimes. You were not allowed the good jobs. You know, you could be a dishwasher, but you couldn't have a good job in the restaurant. And, you know, afflictions. It's literally persecution for righteousness' sake. And the goal of the afflictions and the persecutions is really marked for to choke the word. Where you would finally give up. Okay, I reject this Jesus of Nazareth. I'm going to go back to the God of my fathers, and I'm going to go back to trusting in the law of Moses. That was the goal of the enemy. Always remember this. Ultimately, you are not the target. The word in you, that is the target. It's the word in you. The sower sows the word. And all of those things in Mark 4, all of those things he described, all of it was to make the word unfruitful. Good stuff, isn't it? So he says, verse 34, for you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Now, we just go through that so fast. Today, in America, I can go so far on preaching against certain lifestyles and only get reproaches and maybe some affliction. But the way it's going, on purpose, they are going to pass laws to put guys like me in prison. Because I will not change. I will not change, and I will not perform those kind of marriages. I'm not going to do it. And I will proclaim the truth when they say I can't. Okay? That's an affliction. What's the purpose? If they can't choke the word in me from speaking it, they're going to try and isolate me where nobody can hear it. See, the enemy, the goal, again, I'm going to say, the enemy is not Gary. The enemy, no, I said it wrong. The goal is, I'm not the target. It's the word in me. It's the word that's in you. That's the target. You got that? And they may take away my house. They may take away my cars. They take away your goods. Well, now, during this whole process, what do you think? Your father has abandoned you? Or you think there might be some tutoring going on? And that's the subject here in Romans. Excuse me. That's the subject here in Romans 12. This was literally going on with them. They were being reproached. They were being afflicted. Their goods were literally being taken away. We're not given a whole lot of detail as to how. But eventually, you know, there was a great scattering, you know. Hallelujah. What is, let's do it this way. Go to Acts 4. No, excuse me, Acts 2. Acts 2. I'm going to go there myself. Now, I should have told you to keep a marker, too late. Anyway, we're going to be back in Hebrews 12 in a minute. Okay. Did I say Acts 2? In fact, this is what I mentioned a while ago, where Peter was preaching. So I'm just going to, let's pick it up in verse 37. Peter is, well, can't start there. What is 36? This is the summation, the last of Peter's exhortation to the people. Now, so you know what's happened here. Acts 2 is where the baptism of the Holy Spirit first fell on the people, the 120 in the upper room, and they come out speaking with tongues and staggering around. And Peter says, these men are not drunken as you suppose, being only the ninth hour of the day. But all the people had, there was a miracle going on because all of the 120 were Galileans and spoke that dialect. But all of these people, they're hearing them speak in their own native tongue. Languages that those Galileans never learned. It's a miracle on the ears as much as it is on the tongue. And they're hearing it in whatever country they're from, you know. And what is this? And so Peter's preaching about what's going on and about Jesus. And then verse 36, he sums it up by saying, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Don't you love that? Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Then they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, well, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, any as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's right. So it's the next time Peter preaches, they get 5,000 souls. Okay. These are the very people that the letter of Hebrews is written to. 3,000 here, 5,000. Then it says, then the Lord was adding daily, those that would be saved. Okay? These are the very people. Now notice, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And I'm just going to say again, if you have not heard the lesson I did a few weeks ago titled The Apostles' Doctrine, you really need to hear that one. I'm not even going to begin to try and reteach that. We don't have time today. But I highly recommend that. And then Wednesday night, I taught one. I think the title we put on it was The Doctrine of Christ. Another one you should hear. But anyway, verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that were believed were together and had all things common. You know that's the root word of communism? Common. Commune. Communism. And I have heard all kinds of, I won't say junk. Yeah, well, junk. Like almost defending communism. And like thinking, making Christ out to be a communist. Based on this verse. And if on the surface, this is why you got to dig deep. See, I love how Dave, he doesn't do it so much anymore. But you remember the early days? Y'all remember the early days? If a man's going to share his revelation with me. This is Dave. If a man's going to share his revelation with me, I first have to look at his Bible. And I better find coffee stains. Because the deep things of God are not laying around on the surface. And it takes meditation deep into the night. And slurping that coffee to stay awake. To get the true treasures of God. I loved it. That's also when he would say, tree of life? Coffee bean tree. Yeah. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Decaf. That's my pastor. I love it. Verse 43, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that were believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now let me finish this, and we'll come back. And they continuing daily, how often do we have church? No answers at all here. You think 3 times a week's too much? See? They continued daily with one accord in the temple, wherever that be today, in the church, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. Now, this is really important, this phrase, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There's the other one. Now, when it says, had favor with all the people, so did Jesus. Multitudes. Did not multitudes flock to his meetings? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Sinners would flock to hear Jesus. The people loved Jesus. They came to Jesus. They saw signs and wonders. Okay? The same. The people loved Jesus. But that doesn't mean the religious folks did. And the same ones that put him on the cross, now they're coming after these followers of his. Because they had favor with the normal people, all right. But we just read over there in Hebrews that after they were enlightened, what happened? What happened? A great fight of afflictions that they had to endure, which included not only reproaches, but actually the spoiling of their goods. Now, we haven't got off topic. The topic is, what is the Father's tutoring in times of persecution? We're going beyond Jane see the ball now. What did Jesus teach us? What is the tutorage? Nothing. When Jesus is the Word with legs. Everything he says is the will of the Father. Everything he says is the tutoring of the Father. Go to Luke 6. You'll see exactly the tutoring. This is the tutoring in your spirit when everything to Tarzan in the wild would be the exact opposite. Tarzan as the Lord with an inheritance, how you function there is very different than how you function as a child of apes in the wild. Keep that analogy in mind. Because here they are in the wild. I mean, they're being persecuted. They haven't done anything wrong. All they've done is believe the gospel and love Jesus and turn to him and worship the Savior. That's their big crime. And they're being treated horribly. They're being persecuted. All hell is coming against them, trying to stop them. Can anyone relate? But anyway, okay. What's the tutoring? What are you going to hear? I mean, these people, they're whipping, they're stole your stuff. They took away your house. They're putting you in jail. And what's your attitude of heart? Well, in the wild, it would be, I will get my revenge. I have lawyers who have lawyers. They will be sorry they ever touched God's anointed. Isn't that the way it is? In the wild? Luke 6:27. Here's the tutoring. But I say unto you, love your enemies. What? Father, I don't like this spanking. This is a lesson that I do not like. I don't know if I want to endure this. What about this next one? Do good to them which hate you. Did the Pharisees hate Jesus? You better believe they did. Hated him so much they wanted him off the earth. If they hated him, he says, if they hated me, they're going to hate you also. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. But what's the other tutoring? Rejoice and leap for joy. Notice in Hebrews, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. This is tutoring that does not come by way of the flesh, people. This tutoring will only come through the Spirit to you as a born-again child of God. The world does not have this tutoring. The world cannot relate to this at all. This tutoring is only for children of the living God. I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer the other also. And him that takes away thy cloak, taking away thy goods. I like how Dave used to teach it. He said, the guy's taking your car. He's literally taking your car. He said, well, don't forget to fill it up with gas for him. What? And forbid him not to take thy coat also. In other words, take my car, but at least let me fill it up with gas for you. Take my car and my gas. Now go back to Acts 2 for a moment. Let's look at these verses again. Now, if you leave it in the context, when it says here, verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. What that's talking about is during the time of persecution. They're being terribly persecuted. It would be like today if they come and they took Wendy's house. And Wendy's all of a sudden just out on the street. Are we going to let her sleep on the curb? What are you going to do? You're going to, if you have a bed, if you have a spare room, she stays in your, what if they take away your house now? What if they take away everybody's house at the prayer center? But somebody owns some land. Some member owns some, said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll sell my land. At least we can have bread. We'll have food. We can buy some blankets. That's what was going on. That's exactly what happens in times of persecution. The enemy's trying to scatter the sheep, but what really happens, the sheep come together. And minor differences disappear. I'll just be honest with you. That same guy that we'd argue and argue back and forth about, tongues is for today, tongues has passed away, tongues is for today. And it is important. I'm not trying to minimize it, but I'm telling you, when the bullets are about to come, you're in the same foxhole together. And he's got your back and you got his back if you're a real Christian. Amen? That's what's going on. It's not communism for communism's sake. It's like any family. When there's one member of the family hurts, all the rest of the family comes together. You ever hit your thumb with a hammer? Do you ever say, you stupid thumb? Get in the way of that hammer? What's wrong with you? Is that what happened? I don't care what your project was. Now see, I grew up in construction. We didn't use normal hammers. We use 20-ounce serrated head hammers. You hit your thumb with one of those, the universe stops. I don't care what project you were on, and the whole body comes to the aid of the thumb. Oh, I love you. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And you're going to take some time out if you need to, and you're going to get bandages, and you're going to get Neosporin. In other words, the whole body comes to the aid of the thumb. And that's what was going on there. Now, that is, I want you to understand that I'd like to get off into Ananias and Sapphira, but if I do, we'll miss the point. The point is this. This is T-bone level. When you're being persecuted, the real tutoring of the Father, see, grade one level is, Father, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. I'm being persecuted, deliver me. That's grade one. You probably will, because that's where you are. College graduate level. How about doctorate level? T-bone level. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Be like Stephen when they're stoning you to death. And it dawns on you, this is my last day. This is my last hour. I'll never see my family again. How dead you got to be. How you talk about the training of the Father, the love of the Father developed in you. With his dying breath, he says, Father, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I think he was tutored. I think he was matured. See, fathers love their baby sons, but they don't want them to stay baby sons. They train them. As soon as they're able, you're training them for the next level, you know. I remember when I reached a certain age, my dad never touched a lawnmower again until I left home. It's time to train you in the lawnmowing part of the being a man, you know. And we had like 2.5 acres to mow, okay. So, you know, my dad never touched a lawnmower till I left home after that, you know. You get to a certain age, by golly, that's okay, right? By golly. Buy gum. I'll preach to this side for a while. You get to a certain age, it's time for you to wipe out your own plate after you use it and put it in the dishwasher. It's time. It's time to grow up. And that's what parents, I'm not just picking on, you know, but today's Father's Day, so I'm emphasizing on the father. That we train, God is trying to raise us up into full manhood, if you'll allow me. Maturity. And what's on God's mind is the kingdom of God. See, our flesh is so vain. It thinks this life is about it. What I wear, what I eat, where am I going to sleep? Do I have security? I need millions in the bank to feel secure, and then I'll need more millions. It'll never feel secure. You're so vain. You think this life is about you. But see, it's not. It's about the kingdom of God. And you're a child. You're an heir. You're Tarzan brought from the jungle. If you'll allow me, you're the Lord's. It's called, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hello, kings and lords. And the Holy Spirit is trying to raise us up with the mindset of the kingdom of God. See, that's why it really says, seek ye first the kingdom. The kingdom. When you mature, you're past first grade, you're past milk, you're on meat now. If we get into real persecution, all right, now, I there's so many, I could just pick anybody. I'm going to pick Joan on the back row back there. I find out that the persecution has reached as far as Joan. And I find out, Sue and I find out, Joan doesn't have anything to eat. We have to sell our car. Joan's going to have something to eat. For sure, if we have a spare TV, we could sell that. See, here's a verse. There's in America, see if I wrote that verse down. I thought I did. Yeah, there it is. Go to Luke 12 for a minute. You know, I've been teaching about the doctrine of Christ and what he really taught. And really the apostles had no other doctrine. They really didn't. They weren't allowed to come up with stuff on their own. Now, the Holy Spirit did build upon the cornerstone of the teachings of Jesus, but they didn't change any of his teachings. But there's so little of his teachings that are really taught, or can I say it this way, obeyed in the body of Christ. Now, this is real. You've heard this many times. Luke 12, let's start in verse 28. And he's been teaching really for a while here, trying to get us to understand that God is your Father and he will provide for you. In a nutshell, Jesus is saying, would you please quit worrying like all of these Gentiles that don't have a father? Your Father will provide for you. Would you please stop it? Stop acting like flesh creatures. Like this life is about your flesh. It's not about your flesh. Anyway, picking it up in verse 28. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father, notice he didn't say he was their father, he said your Father. Your Father knows that you have need of all these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And all, say all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now here's the verse. I wanted to leave it in the context. This is seldom ever taught and seldom ever obeyed. Sell that you have and give alms. Alms means to the poor. That's not like into an offering at the church. Give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches nor moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In context, Joan is the treasure, not the extra TV in my third bedroom. Joan is the treasure of heaven. You are the treasure of heaven. And if we come under persecution like they come under persecution, we'll have all things in common again if we're genuinely Christians, because that is the tutoring of the Father. And the whole body will come together no matter which one is hurting. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now back to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. I put a marker there. Good job, Gary. Yay. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, at verse 8 is where we finished a while ago, Hebrews 12, 8. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits? The Father of what? He's not the father of your flesh. He is the father of your spirit. And live. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now please keep in mind that they were enduring a great fight of afflictions. This time through we're going to have it on the T-bone steak level. He is talking about the attitude of heart, the tutoring that comes from the Father towards our persecutors. Okay? Smack. They just hit you with something. Smack. Reject Jesus. Smack. And on the inside, Father, I pray for them. Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Smack. Father, I love them. I pray for them. Lay not this sin to their charge, Father. That's the tutoring. Everything in your flesh will want revenge. Or another way it'll go, it will want the affliction to stop. The flesh wants relief. Maybe we should go back to the law. The tutoring of the Father, hold fast your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. That's the tutoring of the Father. See, this is what's going on. This was designed to move them back away from the cross, back to religion. The tutoring of the Father. Pray for those love those, do good to those, and hold fast your confidence to the end. No chastening, verse 11. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous. Smack. Just reject Jesus and the smacking will stop. Tutoring of the Father, hold fast your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. So no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. All I got to do is reject Jesus and the smacking will stop. Hold fast your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Nevertheless, afterward, when you held fast and you followed the tutoring and you prayed for your enemies and loved them, nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. See that word exercised? If we went back to it's chapter 5 or 6 of the same book, it says those that are mature, they even have their senses exercised by reason of use to discern both good and evil. Remember that? Well, this is the exercise. This is the exercise. You hold fast to the tutoring of your Father no matter what. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Now get this, in the context, follow peace with all men. Would that include those that are smacking you, taking away your goods, reproaching you, maybe doing evil to your children? You know, if they can't stop you, maybe if they smack your wife a while. When they start smacking Sue, I'm telling you, there's a part of Gary that wants to smack back. But the tutoring of the Father, even there, what did Peter say? What did when they were leading Peter and his wife into the Colosseum to be killed? Peter turns to his wife. And he says, live well, woman. No, he says, die well, woman. Die like you lived. That's a T-bone steak level right there. This is T-bone today. Follow peace with all men and holiness. And holiness, be you holy, for I am holy. This is the Father's heart. While we were yet sinners, God didn't smack us, did He? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our Father is holy, and He's saying for us to be holy. Without which no man shall see the Lord. He's also talking about when it says follow peace with all men and holiness. The anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Everything in you, there's the wild Tarzan part of us, the flesh part of us, is going to want to rise up either in revenge or just anything to make it stop. Amen. That's not who you are. It may appear on the outside like they're winning. You on the inside are Lord. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are a Lord under Him and a King under Him. And your job is to rule your house according to the tutoring of the Lord. Tutoring of your Father. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That's what happened there. You let the wild man loose. You let the wild Tarzan guy loose. You retaliated. You became bitter. And he's going to give Esau here as an example of what not to do. See, Esau's a type of the flesh. Jacob's a type of the spirit. Esau liked to hunt, you know, and he was a hairy red guy. His father had to feel that arm to make sure it had a lot of hair to know it was Esau. See, Esau's a type of the flesh. He says, if you react according to the flesh, then you've abandoned the tutoring of the Father. Got that? Okay. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. See, the grace of God, you have the life on the inside of you. That's why he started off with Jesus in the very first two verses. He went, look, none of you have resisted like he did. And you have the same life in you that he had in him. You can endure this. He said of himself, he says, I could pray my Father and he would send what was it, 10 legions of 12, whatever, whole gobba angels? It was enough. I mean, one angel in the Old Testament slew about 180,000 people in a single night. A legion of them is enough to destroy the whole world. In other words, Jesus is going, I could get off this cross if I wanted to. And he agonized with it. But he endured. And that's why it's mentioned here. You had the same life in you. He is the author of your faith. He endured to the end, and you can endure to the end. And that's the tutoring of the Father. So if they wind up putting you in prison, you're still going to preach the truth. If they wind up taking away your house, thank God for the rest of the body that's going to come, give you a place to live, give you food to eat. It's not talking about communism for communism's sake. It's talking about this is how you function under affliction and under persecution. Any family does. Any family does. Hallelujah. Almost done. Looking diligent, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. That's just a definite, that's the wild, letting the wild flesh loose again. As Esau, given an example, who for one morsel of meat, now can I say it this way? Something to satisfy his flesh, sold his birthright. In the context, if you reject Jesus, the persecution against your flesh will stop. But you will sell your birthright. And there is no other Savior. If you really want to read about Esau, you ought to study Esau. Esau became so bitter. He purposely chose out wives that were a great grieving to his parents. He became really a bitter person. Okay? Well, it's easy when you're being persecuted. This is in the context, the natural, wild Tarzan-type person, the flesh, is going to seek revenge, retaliation, or it's going to seek peace by capitulation, rejecting Jesus. Neither one is acceptable. Hold fast your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I'll close with this. This happens on all levels. It happens at the personal level with each of us individually. Each of us could probably come and give testimonies of how the enemy has come and tried to persecute you and get you to stop. Many have left because of that kind of persecution. I'd be a liar if I said I hadn't thought about it. Sue and I, when we ever talk about it, we had the same reaction that the apostles had. He says, you guys want to leave? Where would we go? Well, I'm going to go back somewhere and have them start spoon-feeding me pablum again. You know what? You know? Or teach me worse than that. Teach me just false doctrine directly. What are we going to do? No, we're going to stay. We're going to endure. Even through a great fight of affliction. See, this is really why I am trying to close. Hebrews 11 says, for without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God, and keep it in context, while they're going through this terrible fight of afflictions, when there's nothing in the natural that looks like this verse is true. I mean, they're taking away your house, they're taking away your car, they're taking away your job. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And you have got faith, believes that, when you have no evidence in the natural. Let me tell you something. The prayer center is coming into revival. When we have no evidence in the natural that that is the case, God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We've been diligently seeking him for a long time. And in the natural, I mean, you might look on the left and look on the right and look all around. It looks like there is nothing that says we're ever going to have it. But I'm telling you now, God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hold fast to your confidence. We're going to have a great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Thank you, Father, for your tutoring. That is so different from the world. It is supernatural. It's not from this world. But then again, neither are we. Amen. And we receive your tutoring, Father. We receive it joyfully and we endure it. And it will produce that peaceable fruit of righteousness. In Jesus' name.